first deer or a large buck or a bear or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
All had that, oh my God, you know, did I hit it? You know, we've all had bad experiences with that, or know guys that have. And just seeing their look on the face when he recovers, and the knowing that the animal was either, you know, had a demise or survived is nice knowing as well.
You bet, absolutely. Welcome to Wild Game Dynasty's podcast, episode number 108, folks. Hey, thanks for dialing in. Hey, there's a lot of things you could choose to be doing, and hey, one of those is listening to our podcast, and I appreciate that. So, hey, before I get all rambling on about what's coming up on this podcast episode, yeah, let's kind of prepare to roll right into that podcast. Hey, little backstory was our friend Tom Lounsbury's, as we call him, Rambo. Tom Lounsbury got a hold of me and said, hey, I got a buddy that's interested in going bear hunting. Think he's got enough points, but hey, I think he's going to be a great person on your podcast. Well, I got a hold of Jacob. And of course, the twist of the story is he's a dog handler. He's got a 9-to-5 job. Him and his wife both work outside the home, but as a side gig, more so a hobby for him, he has a trained dog. Actually, I think he's looking into expanding that tracks wounded animals, mainly for the hunters. Anyways, let's roll right into podcast episode 108, where Jacob talks about his sidekick, Jaeger. All right, let's roll. Hey, Jake, this is Gary Morgan calling.
Hey, Gary, good to hear from you.
Hey, how you doing today?
Pretty well. Sitting out at my cabin on the deck, can't get much better than that.
No, that's absolutely... You must not be getting some rain then?
Yeah, we got it earlier. Those thunderstorms, really bad. But
yeah. Were you needing rain over your way as far as just the, you know, for low fire hazard?
Yeah, it's been fairly wet here. You know, the fire danger, we were able to have a campfire last weekend. So
yeah, good.
But my wife's flowers, you know, she always wants me to water them. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll make this chore a little easier for you then.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, maybe she'll think that you did a rain dance for her or something like that. Who knows?
I've been known to try.
Yeah, you got to get credit where credit's due, man.
There you go.
Yeah. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule and hooking up with me. And here at Wild Game Dynasty, we have a podcast platform, and we talked previously. And of course, we're mutual friends of Thomas Lounsbury. Oh, my.
The world famous.
That's right. Absolutely. And of course, you know, we have such fond thoughts about him and memories, and there'll be future togetherness, as we might say, too. And we always look forward to that. And when he ain't listening, we're going to mean mouth him a little bit. That way we knock him down a notch and not let him think that, you know, he's all that in a bag of chips, right?
Hey, we don't want him to, you know, get a bigger head than he already has.
No. Like you said, what's his nickname again?
Rambo.
That's right. Absolutely. So, yeah. We don't want him to
do anything, you know, that's halfway.
Yeah. No. No, that's the beauty of him, is he's going to give you everything he's got.
Yep.
Yeah. So I learned through Tom Lounsbury, we'll call him Rambo, I learned through him about you, and of course I think he said the same thing to you about me, and here we are hooking up, and I'm really looking forward to this chit-chat because, I know you have a job, you and your wife have the proverbial 9-to-5, so what is 9-to-5 anymore? But you have a special interest, hobby, we'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what brought us together today. What is it that the listeners are going to hear about today?
Well, I'd like to talk about with you, and I appreciate it, the concept of dog tracking. You'll hear it called blood tracking, sometimes a misnomer because it's not really going after the blood like you and I have discussed, but it's using tracking dogs to recover wounded game. It's quite big in Europe, or has been traditionally. We can talk a little bit about the history of the ground hunting dog, the Dachshund, which is what I own.
Yeah.
And their history of how they've been used to traditionally track down wounded game, and it's getting I think, I forgot how many states in the union now, but almost all of them, 40-some probably, now allow some type of use of dogs for tracking big game. So.
Wow, that's awesome. I think that's, to me, that's a very positive direction we're heading if we're increasing those numbers, because it's, you know, it's such a, I don't know, just a gut-wrenching experience to lose something that you, you know, you went in a situation, a hunting situation, you thought, well, I'm going to harvest this animal, and for whatever reason, it was unable to retrieve it.
Yes, it's, we've all probably experienced something similar, whether, you know, I come from lifelong hunting, and, you know, losing a duck or a woodcock was heartbreaking for me, let alone,
you
know,
bet.
People's first deer or a large buck or a bear or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
All had that, oh my God, you know, did I hit it? You know, that we've all had bad experiences with that, or know guys that have. And just seeing their look on the face when you recover, and the knowing that the animal was either, you know, had a demise or survived is nice knowing as well.
You bet. Absolutely. How long have you been doing this? This just the last couple years, or?
Yep. It's been, well, I've had an interest in it for quite a while, but me personally for 5 years since I got Jaeger.
Oh, okay.
My little buddy.
Yeah, so you've been doing this for a handful of years then.
Yeah, just started, and my first experience was actually at a Wheeling Sportsman. I don't know if you've heard of Wheeling Sportsman's for handicap hunters.
Yep.
Abled hunters, and NWTF used to do it down at the Shiawassee.
Yeah.
National Wildlife Refuge, mm-hmm. And that was my first, that's probably 20 years ago, and I saw a dachshund work up a track, and that's a whole story in itself, but
yeah.
All of us hunters, you know, my job was tracking. The hunter would call in, there was a, you know, partner with them, they were on radios, and say, hey, we got a deer down in blind two, you know, and you'd go over, and we searched for forever, couldn't find it. I consider myself a decent tracker.
Yeah.
This dog, and his name was Gus, and I always remember. I said, what kind of dog is that? The guy goes, a dachshund. So that's no dachshund, you know, he's all wire hair. They're goofy looking if you've ever seen one. People think they're, you know, Scotties and all this other stuff. But
yeah,
any dog found that deer in 20 minutes. And
wow.
I was like, God, I got to get one of those. But
yeah, you were sold on that concept right there.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother-in-law got one. I talked him into it. And after that, then I talked to my wife after our lab passed away. I said, I got to get another dog. And it's a little smaller size. And I want a hunter. And so
yeah,
I got into it.
Yeah. And, I mean, is that a breed that is, can be located here in the, well, say Michigan or even in the Midwest, or is this something you kind of got to reach out to, a breeder that specializes in that breed of animal,
mm-hmm.
and one
yeah.
that, one that's kind of a, from a lineage of trackers?
Yeah, that, all of the above. You can get them. I wound up going to New York, the state of New York.
Wow.
Burn, down in, the guy that wrote the book, I think we talked about that, John Giannini.
Yeah.
He wrote How to Track Dogs and really brought it to the United States in the 80s. But since that time, because technically they're German, you know, Dachshund literally
mm-hmm.
translates to badger hound.
Wow.
And there were ground hunting dogs. They have fox, you
yep.
know, they'll badgers. They'll dig into the burrow. That's why they're bred and they're long like that.
Yeah.
So
they're fearless. They're fearless too, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I know everybody laughs, but they have more adrenaline than you and I put together. They're amazing hunters. They're long. They'll go in the burrow, dig around behind the badger, drive it out. You know, we all know about tough as a badger. Well,
oh, you bet.
Dachshund's a little tougher. He actually goes in and digs and fights with them and drives them out. So
wow.
That's traditional. You know,
holy cow.
So, but in here in the States, yeah, you can get them now. There's, as a matter of fact, brought that up. I don't think I told you, but I'm looking at getting another one, and I found a guy in, he's out maybe in the Thumb. I can't remember
yeah.
exactly, but
yeah.
I got him on the Michigan Trackers site.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, some pups.
Yeah,
and those
very
are
nice.
Wire. And that's what I like, the traditional wire hair. There's the smoothie, you know, the smooth skin or
yep.
smooth hair,
yep.
and then there's a... long hair, they're called,
yeah.
or like a little fuzzball, you
yep.
know, so.
Mm-hmm. So but, you're looking at getting a second one.
Yep, I
wow.
really am.
I have to ask, because if I said that comment, if I had had one dog and I made that comment, anybody knows me said, have you told your wife yet? Probably not, eh?
No, she's in on that one. She really, she's hooked on him. She didn't, you know, I usually get like a hunting dog or something like that. Well, she's known me for, you know, forever before we were married, so she knew what she was getting into. But yeah, you're right. So I always kind of want to lead in another pup, you know, as the long of the tooth, and train with them and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm kind of looking around. But yes, you can get them pretty much, you know, go with reputable. Obviously, you're gonna pay through the nose, but it's worth it. Yep. These dogs are amazing. The one that I got, you know, I got from the literally from the guy that wrote the book, and it's the best thing I've ever had. It's probably the best dog. I know you and I chatted that my grandfather raised hunting dogs, bird dogs, Weimaraners, you know, wire hairs. He had German short hairs. He had English setters, Gordon setters. Dogs. And I've been around dogs my whole life, and this is probably one of the best dogs personality-wise.
That's enjoyable. That's a big statement, but that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's awesome.
I'm hooked on them. You know, I love big dogs. I love, you know, I'll probably get another lab too one of these days for my duck hunting buddy. But these little guys, they're just amazing personality wise and their ability to hunt. They never give up.
Wow.
They just have all the goal in the world, and they're so small they can make it through the brush.
Yeah.
And if listeners didn't realize, in Michigan and many states, it's not legal to let them, you know, free range. You got to have them on a 30-foot or in a line.
Yep.
So as you go through the brush, you got to kind of, they're good at going underneath stuff.
Yep.
You just let it and walk around it and put your foot on the line and just keep going.
I've seen that happen a couple of times, and I was just amazed at, you know, once that guy lets go of that leash, boy, the handler in that case, or yourself, becomes a different person all of a sudden. And you know, a lot of times I'm asking questions, and all of a sudden, you know, he's looking at me like, not till I get that leash reclaimed. You know, and
because they're driving, they're going, and
you run
around the brush pile or whatever it is, put your foot on it.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask, we didn't talk about this, we'll call it, before we press that record button, but tracking. You know, we're, as a former dog owner for a long time, my dad always had bird dogs, upland.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I knew what he meant when he said, you know, he just didn't care for the porcupines. Poor porcupine. I always felt like, man, he didn't do anything wrong. But, boy, I tell you what, there's not too many dog owners that really care much for a porcupine. Is that something that really worries you as a handler for a tracker?
Yeah, that's interesting you said that. I don't worry about, I worry more for my cabin that they like to eat.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But actually, I haven't really, believe it or not, down south especially, the biggest concern is snakes. Poisonous snakes. Because the little guy, he's right down in there with the copperheads and the paddlers and all that kind of stuff. You worry more about that. Up here, I haven't really had. Well, I had one encounter here at the cabin, but that wasn't with Jaeger; it was with a different dog. But in your mind.
Oh, you bet. You know, there's a. Yeah, just I remember I had an uncle that, you know, I knew what he would do if he saw a porcupine. I don't even want to repeat it because there's a lot of people say that there's better ways to handle it. Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe so, maybe not. It, through the eyes of my uncle, who was just a beautiful avid sportsman. Yeah, he has some good reasons behind why he took actions the way he did, and that's where. What's that? Yeah, he just, you know, it just was what it was, and you know, if he heard you talk about, you know, I saw this porcupine, what'd you do to it? And if you didn't have the correct answer, he kind of look at you and say, shake his head and say, you wait till your dog lands into one, you know. You'll never walk away from one like that before.
He was, like, here at the cabin, because my wife, again, I didn't want to, you know, dispatch him. So I did live trap it. It was underneath our deck, and we did the porcupine relocation program. But typically, they are not around long. But, you know, and it's just for many reasons. They do really chew on things. They really like anything your hand is touched from the salt.
Absolutely. Yeah, we had a tree right here at the cabin that was kind of a cool looking tree. I say was because, you know, it girdled it.
Yeah, once they do that,
it's done. Yeah. Yeah, so, anyways, on to that next deal. So, you're looking at, you've had your, Jaeger at for about 5 years. In its early years, or how long does it take to for an average Datsun to get trained to be ready to at least become what you would say at least a novice in the field of tracking?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, it's obviously variable, like a personality of a person, and the dogs are like that. Some of them, like Jaeger, he didn't. I mean, 9 weeks. You know, he's tracking the liver, and I had him out that first fall, and he, you know, recovered his first deer. But to be a real, you know, it depends. Again, you know, typical dogs. Any of your listeners that are dog owners, probably a lot of them are, know that once they've got that teenage, you know, the 2-year-old ish.
Yep.
You know. That high energy, I'm a crazy little mutt running around.
Chewing on everything.
Oh, chewing, and you know, everybody knows that there's a lot of energy. All hunting dogs have a lot, you know.
Yeah.
You hear that, not been around hunting dog. You know, what's wrong with my dog? He's got so much energy. Well, you got him in an apartment. You know, you really need to work that dog. So
yeah.
They tend to get better. They don't overrun the scent a lot, like because they're too fast. As they age, and Jaeger's 5, and he's just getting into his prime, and he'll go, you know, they'll live a long time, smaller dogs, and probably around 10, 11, they start, you know, slowing down, but I probably got his best years coming up.
Wow.
Right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I wish I had more time, but you and I chatted, and if I ever get to retire one of these days, I'm going to spend a lot more time out in the field, taking more calls.
You bet. Yeah.
Well,
and that just leads into the reasoning behind your statement in your decision. Of course, you and your wife both are looking at possibly picking up another one soon.
Yep.
You always have that one in training.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's beautiful thing to watch the old guy train the young one.
Absolutely. And we all know that day's going to come when that old guy isn't going to be able to go out like me.
Right.
Not going to be able to go out there as much.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose them. And you really got to have that backup. You don't want to just, you know, at least me, I don't want to just, you know, lose my dog and then
walk
around, get another dog trained, and you got all those years.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's
So,
run me through it. I don't want to call it a typical track because I'm sure that everyone is extremely different from the next, but. You know, I've whitetail hunted, and just like you said earlier, most everybody's lost one or more. It's always so unfortunate, and, you know, you just beat your head against the nearest tree, wondering what you did wrong, etc. And sometimes it's just what happens. And sometimes, too, because those whitetails are so resilient, they live.
Oh, yeah.
They live. They make it. They're fine. But run us through a typical track situation, but start from the beginning where maybe there's that one guy or him and his buddy are out hunting and he arrows one or he runs a bullet through one, whatever. Just his attempt to harvest an animal hasn't produced the fruits by finding the animal, and he's going to make that call. What should he have done before leading up to making the call? So we're basically training the hunter how to set up the track so that we can recover this animal without blowing it.
Absolutely. That you couldn't be a better question. When you go to any meeting, I just went to the United Blood Trackers one a month ago and talking to all these guys from all over the country, and it's the same thing. I mean, you really are training the hunter, so I'm glad you used that. As many of you know, my dad even told me about training dogs. You know, the dog's training you half the time, but
yeah.
The dog hunts with you, you know, and that kind of thing, not the other way around. So once you've established that, it's the same with the hunter. The best thing a hunter, I'll take you through, I'll try to be brief, but you know me, a lot of words. But basically, as a hunter, your desire is to get that deer. So you see it, you know, you make the shot, you think, oh, it's a good one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a bow shot, because that's typically what we get more than rifle, but crossbow. Get a lot of those. And people shoot too far. You know, far it can shoot, the noise that deer reacts, and 450 feet per second, you know, they spew out all the stuff, and yeah, I got a deer with an arrow in his butt, you know, because he jumped. But anyway, when you call, I'll ask many questions, but sometimes I won't even take a call based on what I hear. But if you track it a little, you know, go to the hit site, obviously, typically people go and they try to find their arrow and they look for blood, and all those kind of good things. But if you didn't have any of that, you didn't have any luck and everything, just back out. We tell everybody, just back out. Don't do the grid search. Don't do, you know, you can go, you know, everybody wants to go a little ways, but the more stomping around you do, you and I chatted about that, you're going to get scent, blood, all kinds of things on your shoes and boots, and you're not even going to realize it. So when the dog comes, if you have access to, which you can through United Blood Trackers or Michigan Blood Trackers, go on site and contact one of them. So, and they'll do the same thing I'm doing. I'll say, what, you know, describe to me what happened. What did you do? So when I show up, if I take the site and the hit, I'll go right to the spot. I say, show me where it was and how many deer were standing there, because I'll hear that. There's five deer, you know, in the group, and I shot this one. Because Jaeger will, and any tracking dog, once you've got him established on a line, he's going to track that particular deer. And you and I talked about it a little bit. It's actually in the hoof. You know, it's a digital gland.
So it's not the blood, as a lot of our listeners are probably thinking.
Correct. That's why they will track the blood, we're saying or not. But that's where when you say, how did that deer track? There's no blood. They don't need blood. Once you establish that, they will stick with that. I've jumped deer. I've jumped rabbit. And Jaeger, he doesn't care. It's an individual scent. If your listeners don't
That's
know,
awesome.
It's just like you and me. We all have, it's based on the enzymes and all this other stuff. But basically, they know that scent. Once you've got them on a line and that dog knows what you're going after, he'll do his best to track that particular animal.
Wow.
He can be distracted. There's a lot of variables involved.
Yeah.
Humidity, best. Mm-hmm. You know, you want it, and you and I chatted a little bit. Wet. Don't ever hesitate to call because you say, oh, it rained and it was last night. And don't worry about that. Water is good. We've covered one in a pond. You know, the deer's literally floating.
Wow.
Your listeners may have heard of cadaver dogs. They literally can find them in 15 feet away. So don't worry about the water or
wow.
the age.
That's awesome.
24 hours. Yeah, it's amazing. So, and just, you know, back out and let the guy come in and work his dog. Or girl, whoever it might be.
Yep.
And you may find them. You may not. You know, don't say, oh, well, I got a dog, I'm going to get it. Or it's been 24 hours, there's no blood, I'm never going to get it. Don't hesitate to try.
Yeah.
Follow up every shot. I hear that a lot. Like, oh, no, he didn't react. Or, you know, I blew it or whatever. But don't hesitate. Let the dog and the handler tell you, okay, this is a live deer or whatever. So typically we'll track them, and as you know, it has to be on a line 30 feet or less in Michigan. Some states, Texas, you can free range them, but has to be on a line. And I will go, and you can come with me. All, you know, you walk behind me and we'll do our best. And we may have to restart. I've restarted up to 5 times. We'll come back to last blood.
Wow.
Or we'll come to the initial shot site and get them going again. And that my saying is never give up. just give it a shot. Unless the handler goes, this is a live deer. Because I can tell. The dog can tell. It's been confirmed with, you know, seeing the deer on your trail cam later on.
Yeah, yeah.
Happens a lot more than you think. And that is giving you, the hunter, as you and I have discussed, it's something that, boy, it gives me relief. Wow, that deer's alive. I didn't, you know, screw up and kill this thing. And, you know, sometimes the coyotes, you know, will come back the next day, 24 hours, and there's nothing left but the horns.
Yeah.
There's a lot of variables involved, but, you know, you give it a shot. And the recovery rate, I think I told you, is roughly about 38% over all the different dogs. You say, wow, that's not very good. But a lot of those are calls where we say, nope, that's a live deer. And we count that as a no recovery because you didn't recover the deer.
Yeah, okay.
8 to 40%, where actually that means you found the deer.
Yeah.
You know,
That's, you know what, I wouldn't have taken that into consideration, I guess, but that's how the stats are compiled. That's the way it is.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. Online, we actually, the UB, why we know they've been collecting data on United Blood Trackers for years, all of us say, hey, I tracked, you know, 10 bears, elk, moose, whatever they're tracking, and we give a statistic on that. How many were recoveries? How many were determined live? But the way the stats, you know, literally a recovery, that's a dead animal.
Yeah.
It's around 38-40%, which is excellent, really.
Yeah, absolutely it is, yeah. Considering most of which, because I'm thinking the United States really hasn't, until recently, the last, 10 years maybe, has gotten used to the idea of utilizing a tracking dog.
Correct.
Like you said, you know, across the pond, this is old hat for them. They're doing that on a regular basis. So as we, you know, as our hunters become more trained, as we were saying earlier, or knowledgeable on how this works, that stat should improve quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, because all the states, you know, this is a legislative thing many times, as you know.
Yeah.
States will work very hard, you know, to pass laws and rules and regulations so that they're allowed to do it. And some of the states will fight you tooth and nail, and other ones, the first state really to really go was New York, because John Janene was there, and he worked for a long time to, you know, other traditionally in the South, you know, they're hunting deer with dogs, you know, it's a different story, but each one is unique, and I forget, I should have checked, but I know it was over 36 states a while ago that allow some type of dog, you know, either on a leash or free-ranging to recover the deer, and that is going to make a huge difference.
You bet.
You know, just I don't know, the feeling, you mentioned it, it's such a gut-wrenching, you know, to lose, or you missed it, or how could I have screwed that up, you feel better, you know, especially when you cover the deer. I had one that's my favorite. She was 16-year-old, her first buck. You know, it wasn't a monster, but for me it was. For her, it was her first deer. She cried openly, you know, when we found it. She goes, "There's no way, I can't believe you found the deer." You know,
isn't that awesome, though? That's an awesome story right there. That's a happy ending, more so than, you know, what we could really write up as a script.
Yeah, she probably, you know, the rest of her life, think about it. I know I would have been. You'd be tore up.
Yeah.
You know, you made the you know, you thought you did well, and you couldn't find the deer.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and she, I'm sure she would have remembered that, you know, but now she'll remember the opposite. That
absolutely. So, you know, I know how to get a hold of you, because I have your number, and of course, well, let me back up a little bit now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about tracking deer and tracking other species of game, but, you know, somebody's, you know, wounds a whitetail, but we're talking about other forms of hunting, whether it be maybe, well, I'll throw out there, turkey or bear or elk or whatever it might be here in Michigan. Is it something that you will participate in as well? Is somebody called you and said, "Hey, I aired a bear. I put a slug through the bear, and I can't find any blood, and I don't want to screw it up. Are you interested in it?"
Yes, absolutely. Because Jaeger's never tracked a bear, but what you described, any bear hunter knows about how they, you know, they just won't bleed. You know, they'll seal up, and we've all had that experience. And you know, you hit the bear, and you might have a little blood to start, and then you lose it. You're like, "Oh my gosh!" You know, yeah, I would. The way it's been, I talk to my buddies, you know, that do this online and so on, and they say, you know, there's the famous they, that absolutely no problem, that a dog like mine, it's a blood sniffing, you know, bloodhound, will track a bear, because they stink, and they said they're real easy to find that way, and I would only be cautious because he's never tracked one before. You know, I'd be a little worried about my dog.
Yeah.
I want to make sure they've got somebody with a gun backing me up.
Let me ask you on this a little bit. I'm sorry to interrupt, but would it be, you know, because I know a little bit about how you guys train, and it's always nice where you get somebody, you know, down the road from me a little bit, and they're hunting, and they found their deer, or they seen it go down, it's out, you know, 100 yards out in the field, and to give your dog a, you know, if your dog was early into this, into the training, you know, "Here, come on over and find the deer," they already know it's there, but this is a fresh track, and it's just, you know, more kudos to your tracker, to Jaeger in this case, to build up his confidence, his training, his success.
Yes.
Would that be something on the bear side of things? You know, say for instance, you know, the proverbial death moan. We get those less than 50%, but it's still probably 40. I don't know. I mean, I hate to reach out. Of course, you know, you can only say yes or no, but would that be something of interest?
Yeah, it's all timing with me and my schedule how far and all those variables and how my wife feels about it. But
boy, you're being honest. At least that's the deal. I'll be home tomorrow, hon. Why? Well, they're probably going to bust open a bottle of scotch.
absolutely, and at least a stogie.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes, the answer is I'm interested as I, get him more experience. That would be absolutely, and the deer, the way you described it was actually what I used to do. All my friends, I would just tell them when it was first, I didn't want to have just the strangers calling me up and saying, no. Hey, I got a deer down, and tell them, hey, my dog's new, stuff. Yeah. So yeah, I would have, and I would do it with mine. Like I would shoot them with my bow and I knew where they went. I knew I got a good shot. I knew they were down actually, but I would take him out and let him track it. It's good, good experience. So that he knows, rather than at the end of the trail, in case you're wondering, when you train him, you use like a hoof or a hide or a chunk of liver, something that he gets a little treat at the end.
Oh yeah, so, nice.
A live bear or not a live bear, but a dead bear, and a deer or whatever, a turkey. That is different. He reacts differently. The first time his first year, he wasn't months old, the first fall, I got a little buck, I got a little spike horn, and I shot it for him, basically, with my bow, crossbow, actually. Yeah. And I knew where it went. I heard it crash. Yeah. I heard it go down. But I did exactly what you said. I went to the arrow, get him all excited. Man, he just did really great on it. But it was so funny when he came up to it. He didn't know what he's looking at me. It was at night. I had my headlamp on.
Yeah.
At me, and then he's looking at the deer, and he's like creeping up to it, sniffing it, and then he's plucking the hairs out of it. He's like pulling on it with his mouth, and then did this really weird behavior, and he still does it to this day. He did it with the turkey. He goes up to it and he starts burying it. He takes his nose, like a bear, wolf.
I was gonna say like a big old grizzly bear.
Absolutely, he was doing. I got video of it. People don't believe. I actually asked Alana, funny, like, "Has any of your dogs ever bury it?" She goes, "No, that's really weird, but it's not that odd for a wolf or any other animal might catch their kill, and he'll try to bury it."
Well, I'll be darned. That's his prize, man. He's gonna bury it and come back later and cuddle with it or something.
I'm glad you mentioned that too, because a lot of dogs you have to really train them so that, because multiple, let's say one of our listeners gets a hold of me and I go get it and Jaeger gets it, and the hunter's all excited, so they're running up, "Oh, good dog," Well, Jaeger, you got to make sure that he's not going to bite anybody.
You bet.
The old joke about, does your dog bite? And you say, "No," and it bites him, and, "Well, that's not my dog." the joke in the book. But I don't want that, obviously. And so immediately, that's one of the first behaviors you, as a puppy, and I had to do it with Jaeger, and,
biting back.
Don't look at you, but hey. This is, he'll give you the look, but he won't growl, he won't bite, he won't, anything. But some dogs, I know John, the guy that wrote the book, he said, I had to leash him and get him on because that dog would just growl and, real possessive.
Yeah.
He's like, "You bite anybody, but I don't want to take the chance."
Yeah.
Jaeger's not like that. I had to get that out of him right away. He'll look at you funny.
Yeah.
Like, "Hey, mine," but, it's kind of a real unique type of thing.
Well, how would you and I feel if we're at a DU banquet and they call your name, you want a gun, you can go up there and you say, "Woohoo," and somebody says, "Oh, sorry, you can't take this home with you."
Sorry, we were just kidding. Yeah, you've been practicing for like 2 days, across the swamp, and hooks you up to a leash and says, "Nope, you can't have it.
Yeah.
It's a little funny, but he's, I can tell, a lot of the hunters are going, "What are you talking about? He looks normal to me," but I was like, "He's giving you the look."
Yeah. there's a guy or two I could think of on a track. I mean, I'd let him bite him. Just the guy needs a little spanking now and then too.
It's kind of funny. It's an enjoyable. Yeah. It's made a whole new career of enjoyment for me. It's you heard of taking the youth out hunting, and of course, and I love doing that. It adds a whole new level. As you age and get into different levels, we all know that, got to get everything when you're young.
Yeah.
Then you go to the middle stage. Well, I'm kind of like that with this dog. I've been around dogs my whole life, beagles and everything. This is one of the funner things because I see the look
on
the face of the hunter. I mean, I had this one guy, I mean, he's 6'7". I thought he was going to crush me with a hug. I mean, he was just like, oh, my God, I can't believe, you know, he was just like a little kid, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome, though.
Yeah, it was more rewarding than anything, you know.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I plan on getting into it a lot more, obviously, when I have more time.
The more you're going to get it, it's like anything. It's just the more you're going to be able to do it, the more enjoyment. I mean, there's just the sky's the limit.
It's a cool thing. It's a cool thing to watch the dog. It's frustrating, you know, when you can't find the track. But it's a real, anybody that works with dogs, you know, that's probably more than my dad always said about his bird dogs. You know, he said, I don't give a crap about hunting, but working with that dog.
Oh, yeah.
Everything to him.
Yeah, I agree. I remember you know, watching my dad work with, when we were pheasant hunting down in Livingston County down by Howell.
Oh, yeah.
And back in the day, you know, and I mean, I was probably 7-8 years old, and my job was to carry the pheasants, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that.
Pretty easy to tag out, you know, with two.
Two, yeah.
And so I thought I was, you know, pretty tough stuff, but boy, he just, you know, he'd sit and watch. Dog's name was Dusty, and he'd just watch that dog like it was. It's like it's his best buddy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was amazing watching my grandpa Jake and my dad. You know, the looks on their faces and the joy, and walking behind a group of hunters that went in the old days with pheasants, and you know that, and they, you know, walk through the big line, and then my dad, grandpa would wait at the end of the field, and then they'd take Kelly, our Irish setter, and start going. The guys were like, what are you doing? We just went through there. Well, we're just going to go. And, you know, I would take two or three birds, and boom, they shoot. Okay, we got two, we're done. You know?
Yeah.
Well, when you got a dog.
That's right.
Well, you know, growing up, I think you've got that forever. You don't understand that not everybody has that.
No, so, it's a gift. Why it's there, it's a gift.
It's a gift.
Yeah. Absolutely. I remember a funny story. I mean, I was like, I think I was 9, so I remember it pretty good. It's before we moved up north, because, you know, when we were about, I was about 10, 11, we moved. But we were pheasant hunting on the neighbors. Of course, back then, you know, we all know everybody. You just park your car and throw the case in on the front seat with the window down and the keys in the ignition. And the only reason you did that, in case the farmer had to move your vehicle for some odd reason. And I can't remember exactly what I did. My dad was a little frustrated with me that day. I don't know. Maybe I was just not doing what I was supposed to be doing. I don't know, probably getting ahead of him. And I thought, because we had a, you know, Pontiac with a trunk, you know, it wasn't a pickup, and we put Dusty in the trunk and kind of tie it down that way he wouldn't claw up the vinyl in seats, you know.
Yeah.
And I swear I thought, you know, I kind of remember thinking, man, my dad's really mad. I hope he doesn't put me in the trunk and put Dusty in the front seat. And I remember asking my dad about that before, and he looked at me and said, I remember that day. I said, really? He says, I ain't answering your question either.
I didn't want to have to choose.
No, thankfully. Yeah, so.
It's funny, Grandpa Jay has exactly, he had a Weimaraner named Hans, and he always put him in the trunk, which I thought was weird.
It is.
And I remember that distinctly, and thinking the same thing. It's kind of,
It's funny, but they, you know, that's the way it kind of was back then. But, well, Jake, this has been a real treat chit-chatting. I know you're up to your cottage, your cabin up by in that northwest portion of the state.
Yep.
I'm on the other side of 75 in that northeast portion, so.
We got it covered.
Yeah, we do, absolutely. So we got the rain that passed over you, and I'm kind of happy because I think my food plot out yonder here looking pretty good. So
there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. So on to other things. But this has been a real nice conversation, as I always call it, because that's really what it is. Our listeners really appreciate that genuine, you know, just candid remarks, candid conversation. Just like, you know, a guy might be heading to work or heading up hunting, and he's going to catch this podcast. And, you know, hopefully it puts a smile on his face and maybe kind of, you know, make their mind kind of stop in its tracks for a minute and put a pause on how this tracking stuff works and what it can do for a guy or gal, and what are some things that they can do ahead of time before they even give you a call.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. This has been a pleasure talking to you about it.
Yeah. Hey, would you mind sharing your phone number, your contact, or a way to get a hold of you in case there's somebody out there that leading up to hunting season here in September, of course.
Yeah. It's coming up. So,
yes, it is.
Yeah, I'll give you my cell phone.
Okay.
And then also my email, because email is a really good way to get a hold of me.
Sure, that'd be best then.
Way, but I can give both because okay. I don't mind. And if it's a long distance, you know, as far as travel for me to come to the hunt, you know, we can talk about that for tracking. But if they're ready, the phone number is 989.
Okay.
9-41-8009.
Repeat that again.
989-941-8009.
Perfect. And how about that email?
Yeah, it's the letter J, the letter W, and then V is in Victor, A-N-H-O-U, at sbcglobal.net.
Perfect.
sbcglobal.net. So it's the letter J, the letter W, V-A-N-H-O-U, at sbcglobal.net.
Perfect. I appreciate that.
Yep.
And, you know, when we post the link of this podcast where people can go back and listen at their free will. Yeah. Why don't you do me a favor and send me a picture of you
and Jaeger.
And Jaeger, yes. Yeah. We don't care if you're smiling or not, but we want a good picture of him.
Yeah, maybe I better send a picture of some of my hunters with their happy smiles in the dog.
Sure.
But yeah, I'll send you
three of them.
Yep, I'll send you a couple. And
I appreciate it.
They can see Jaeger in action.
Yeah.
That's just is my name to give him, just as we're tailing off the end of the thing here. His real name, believe it or not, his legal name, AKC, is Zorro von Musbeck Zuzelak.
Hey.
That is real. I didn't make that up.
No,
from German lineage. His father, Tommy, came from Germany.
Wow.
And he's part of the Z letter, it's called, and he's... Name is Zorro.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
he wears a mask.
As you know, the Jaeger, as you know, is Jägermeister. Most people, that means master hunter.
Yep.
And hunter in German. So I figured he's a master hunter. So
oh yes, Jaeger indeed. Hunter. Yeah, he can help the rest of us become that master hunter that we'd like to be by finding more of our game that, you know, some of us just don't recover right away.
Yeah, as we wrap up here, that's usually what, you know, you ask me, how do you start off the hunt and all that? Well, first thing, you better make a better shot. Because my brother, he's awesome. I shouldn't pick on him because he can't hear defend himself.
No,
I can count on him to shoot him in the hoof, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Well, another recovery.
Yeah. Well, hey, if you happen to see Rambo around, tell him I said hi, and I'll do the same if I happen to hear from him. And
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he sent me one of his articles, so I like posting his stuff on our Wild Game Dynasty blog, and it's always appreciated because that's not easy work for you guys that are writers out there and do that too, because I know you do that. It's you know, besides your day job, as we call it, you wear many hats, young man.
Yeah, I think. Got to slow down a little bit.
Well, hey, they call that retirement, you know.
There you go.
All right, so. Just thought I'd bring that up.
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate it, Jake. You take care and have a great rest of the week. And, hey, we're going to get some warm weather, so be ready and just have a couple in the refrigerator ready to hydrate yourself.
All right.
All right. Take care.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
This week's podcast brought to you by...
Hey, it is antler growing season until mid-August, so now is the time to get those mineral sites going, and we can help with that with our product called Power Mineral. For more information, call 231-492-6697 or Facebook it at Edge Attractants Incorporated.
And also brought to you by...
Hey out there, this is Barry Wenzel. I've been successfully hunting whitetail deer for over 60 years now. Deer base their entire existence on messages received from their noses. You can increase communications within the local social structure by using Smokey's deer lures. They just flat out work great for me. Give Smokey's a try, and I think you'll agree. Best of luck and shoot straight.
And with that, we conclude another podcast episode with Wild Game Dynasty. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe in your podcast app to receive notifications on future podcasts. Also, please head on over and check out our Facebook page. Be sure to like and follow it to stay up to date on highlights from our clients' turkey, bear, and white-tailed deer hunts. Until next time, guys, stay safe, enjoy the great outdoors, and happy hunting.